We're so glad you came this morning. We're here to worship the Lord. That's what we do here. And last week, we taught you the five essentials of the faith. Fundamentals are most important. Miss Hatchell's with us this morning, and she's a Hall of Fame basketball coach and knows secrets and this, that, and the other that the others don't know. In fact, I was looking through some of her literature, and she has 9 different plays to bring the ball out. Now, if you play basketball, that would seem to be a very simple thing, wouldn't it? You throw it to him 3 feet away. How hard can it be to bring the ball out? Very hard. Very hard. And she's got 9 different ways to do that, and you don't know any of them. And so her girls get the ball out. And I did see one guy on TV. He was somebody got excited, and they didn't guard him. They guarded the guy he was going to throw it to. The guy bringing it in just hit him in the back with it, picked it up, and scored. You got the steady thing, says he. It's a steady moving game. So last week we told you about the 5 essentials of the faith. And I showed you how to memorize them on your hand, and we're going to find out if you remembered them or not. Everybody ready with the hand? Now, you've got to play, or we'll ask you to leave. All right? Okay. Number 1 was what? Deity of Christ. Jesus is God. All right? We know that. Pointing up. Number 2, what we got? The V? Virgin birth. Right? That's an essential. Number 3, the atonement. Christ dying on the cross. 3 people were crucified, but only 1 for your sins, right? 4 is bodily resurrection, going up. That's what he did he not? 5, coming again. All right? Have we got them? All 5? And remember those, because we're going to do this a lot. And you can do it with your friends. Let them know the fundamentals. Because I'll guarantee you, Miss Hatchell stresses fundamentals when she teaches you how to play basketball. Because if you can't do the fundamentals, you can't do anything else. Doesn't matter. We had a coach in high school. We had to wear 2 pair of socks. And somebody said, why do we have to wear 2 pair of socks? And he turned 1 pair inside out and said, you see those little strings? So you run on them a while, they'll give you a blister. It gives you a blister, you had the game. You ain't helping me any. So you turn that first pair inside out and put the smooth foot against your foot. Then you can put the one to look pretty on top of it. Right? And I appreciated that because he taught the fundamentals, and that's where it was. I have been contacted by somebody off the bench many a time, and I said, you coming in for me? And he said, no, coach said, tuck your shirt in. And then he left back out because he'd tell you, if you can't win, at least play pretty. At least do it right, do the best you can. And we did pretty good, 22-0. That ain't bad. Beat the Clemson freshman twice and the Wofford freshman twice. And would have beat you, too, if you'd have been there. We got hostile every now and then. All right, I was glad you sang this morning, and we didn't have any contact about what you... Boy, you sang well this morning. Not that you don't always do, but you did kind of exceptional this morning. But we don't discuss the songs that will come up, and I was glad to hear you talk about the shepherd, and we sang about the shepherd, because this morning somebody asked if we would expound the 23rd Psalm. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm, or part of it, as kind of like the National Anthem. You know, when the little kids sing the National Anthem, or when the adults do, everybody knows a few words. But when a group's singing, it sounds like everybody knows all the words because the whole song comes out. It's just a whole song doesn't come out of everybody. And so that's what the 23rd Psalm is about. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's as far as some people get. Other people just memorize it or go on through it, and they don't know the intricacies and the facts that are contained in those six short verses. And when you leave here today, you will. And you'll have more appreciation for the 23rd Psalm, I promise you. But before we preach that, we're going to pray. And gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for you letting us be those who escaped the storm that came by. And we're sorry that it's gaining speed and will be hitting other people if you don't take it out to sea. We would pray that that would be the route that it would take. We still pray for the people in Louisiana. We don't forget them. What a terrible, terrible thing. That'll be years getting over with. And we just ask that you be with those good folks. We thank you for Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's organization, who went down and always first ones on the scene of a disaster and helping the best they can. And then as they're there, they give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you and ask you blessings on all the churches who are preaching the gospel this morning. We thank you that you allow us to be here and you allow us to expound the word of God. It is a knee-shaking test for us so-called preachers to handle the word of God. I never get over that, the awesomeness of it, that this is the revealed word of God. It's what you would have had us know. And by having a Bible, we can know your mind to an extent. We can know how we should act and what we should do and how we can help others. So we ask that you be with those who are here this morning. And we're sorry we can't be on the webcam this morning. I would ask you to please handle that situation. We'll just turn it over to you in faith, and I'm sure that we'll be on it again quickly, one way or another. We thank you so much. Bless us this morning. If there's anybody here who knows you not as Savior and the Great Shepherd, would they please this morning turn their life over to you and find out there's a better way and there's an eternal way, and the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find the 23rd Psalm is a part of a trilogy. You can hear always means three. And this is the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm go together. There are a trilogy, and in 22, it speaks of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. In fact, Psalm 22 is a wonderful account of the crucifixion and shows you some of the pain and the problems that the Lord Jesus suffered on our behalf that we didn't have to suffer. He did it for us. So it's about the Good Shepherd, good enough to give his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, the one we will expound this morning, is the Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant in Hebrews. And he tenderly cares for the sheep. This shows the care of the shepherd for us. And Psalm 24, the chief shepherd, he appears as King of Glory to reward his sheep. Now we are the sheep, and you'll notice that most of the Psalms are written by the Holy Spirit, of course, through David. And David was a shepherd. He's no stranger to what sheep do and how they act and how you care for them and what's needed by them and how to give them the care they need. And David is picturing to these people he's talking to, a great number of which were shepherds, and a great number of which always had somebody in the family who was selling sheep or raising sheep or doing something with sheep. David knew sheep. It was he who watched the sheep and had his slingshot. What was it, a bear or a lion came by? The bear, wasn't it? And he just popped him between the eyes like Goliath with a rock And liberals say, oh, well, now you couldn't do that, and that's impossible, and yada, yada, yada. Please keep reading. Nothing's impossible with God. Okay? And understand from a shepherd's point of view, a shepherd had a slingshot. Now, it wasn't the kind you and I made out of the cut the rubber tires up. We hated it when they invented synthetic rubber. I mean, that just did away with rubber guns. You couldn't make a slingshot or a rubber gun with that stuff. You had that old red real rubber, and when you shot it and it hit somebody, it put a blister on them. That's rubber. And the shepherd's slingshot wasn't that. Their slingshot is two pieces of leather, about 3 feet long, and a little pouch. And they'll put a pebble in there, and they'll swing that thing and let you have it. And you say, well, just how accurate can that be? I'll tell you how accurate to be. There ain't a whole lot for a shepherd to do when he's watching sheep. I mean, sheep aren't crazy. They don't run around and get wild. And, you know, they just kind of eat grass and stay where they are. So not much to do. So shepherd boys have their slingshot for the protection of anybody or anything that would attack the sheep. And so they practiced with their slingshot. And started off, you know, Bob, I think I can hit that tree. Let's see which one can hit the tree. That became so easy it wasn't fun anymore. Then it became third leaf from the top on the left. Said, you got to be kidding. No, that's what we're going for. Bap! They got to where they could hit them. Then they got to where they could hit the stem and cut the limb off. Do not mess with a shepherd with a slingshot. It'll leave him alone. He will hurt you. And so David knew who he was talking about. He knew what a shepherd's duties were, and this explains it. Here's, we'll go through this, and that's why when he's using us as sheep, we're the great shepherd's sheep, the Lord refers to us as sheep, not because we're woolly and nice and cute. He refers to us as sheep because sheep are the dumbest animals on earth. Okay? Sheep can't see well. If he gets 20 yards, that's from here to the doors back there. If he gets 20 yards from the flock, he's lost. He don't know where he is. His eyesight's poor. He can't see them. He can hear them a little. If he can hear them, he'll follow the sound. But he's gone. He's out there. And he's vulnerable when he is out there. And not many people know that. A sheep is defenseless. It can't bite you. They got them little old bitty teeth, and they nibble the grass at the roots. That's why they had the great cattle wars and sheep wars out west, because the shepherds would come with the sheep, and they don't just nibble the top of the grass. They'll go down to the root. Boy, when they get through eating, there ain't nothing left. And the cattlemen were mad because their cattle couldn't graze. Rightly so. So that was a problem. A sheep is helpless. He can't fight back. There's nothing he can do for you to drag him off and kill him, or a wolf to come, or any kind of animal of that nature can come. Slaughtering sheep is the easiest thing in the world. And so a shepherd has to be aware of this so he can be the protector of the sheep. Because the sheep is totally dependent on the shepherd. I mean totally. He can't get water by himself. If he goes up to a stream to get water, he's fluffy and he's a sponge, right? And he begins to drink water, then he begins to ease out because the water's good and cool, so he'll get on out there. That's right, get on out there with all that fur, all that fluff. And it's absorbent. Now he went in weighing 20 pounds and he can't get out because now he weighs 50. So he will drown just trying to get a drink of water. Helpless. Just helpless. Snakes get them. Can't fight back. Predators get him. They can't do nothing about it. Eagles, big birds of prey, they come get the little lambs, bam, they got them and they're gone with them. Can't stop that. All you can do is be sorry. So a sheep is totally dependent on the shepherd. That's us. Now, we want to be independent. Hey, look at me. I've got $98 billion. Wonderful. You're still in a casket. You're dead. It won't help you. I had a cell phone, one of those things all y'all got, and I couldn't work it. And Ann said, honey, have you learned to work that thing yet? And I said, no, I can't call anybody. And it's just, you know, I do have about 50 pictures of people I don't know, though. Well, you know, it was totally useless to me. See? And we find out that we are not independent. We are totally dependent. There's an ad on television. I'm sure you've seen it about the guy wanting you to buy gold and silver from him. And he's explaining this printing of money that's no good. It's just paper. As long as you'll accept that dollar for the candy bar. Well, dollar and a half now. It used to be a nickel. If you'll accept that piece of paper for the candy bar, it's just bartering now. Because the dollar isn't worth anything. Yeah. And we owe more money than we can possibly save up and pay. Our country does. And I don't know what they're thinking other than it's hard to repossess Georgia. I mean, what do you do? You can't come get it, can you? Nothing you can do. But we're broke. We're broke. And as long as ever other country will play the game, yeah, we'll give you this for that. It's no more than Monopoly money. And the guy on TV says, this cannot last. He's an economist. He said, the bubble is going to burst. And when it bursts, it's going to be the biggest, worst depression this world has ever seen. You see, we're the richest country in the world, and we're $20 trillion in debt. I mean, what are the Watusis doing? They ain't got any money. They trade a pumpkin for some corn. I believe they're smarter than we are. See? That's all right. If you think that's the first dog that's been in this room, you no, yeah, come down here some Saturday. So you have to be totally, by faith, dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job. That's my job. Totally dependent. Situations will come up and Ann will say, well, what are you going to do about that? I said, I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not in charge. I'm going to talk to somebody and let them take care of it. And that's what I've been taught to do all my life. Where is your faith? Most people's faith runs out at the end of their sight. Faith doesn't even start to pass then. And we have faith. We believe. The Lord said it. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker in the Bible? God said it. I read it. That settles it. You can strike that middle part. That no matter whether you read it or not, God said it, and that's it. And the problem, the big problem with our country is we've turned our back on the Lord Jesus Christ and judgment has started to fall. Okay? So don't be sad. Rejoice. We get to go home soon. So we find out that David is going to talk to the shepherds and people about the sheep. And he lets them know, first off, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's saying, why would I want anything when my shepherd, who is obligated to take care of me and said he would take care of me, all I have to do is be a good sheep, and he will take care of the rest of it. They understood that, but he wanted them to know who his shepherd was, And when he says the Lord, he's talking about the Lord God Almighty. He's talking about Jehovah. He's talking about he who is, was, and ever shall be, who all things were created for him and by him. And by the way, he's coming back to claim them. And David said, look up, my friend. Look up. Don't be depressed. Don't be sad. I know the situation can be bad. I know you've been hungry at some time or another. I know you went broke just like the rest of us. I know you made foolish promises just like the rest of us. And I know there have been depression days when you felt maybe it'd be better if you just shot yourself. Everybody's been there. That's called life. The psychologists say, and not that I put a lot of faith in them, but they say if you got 10 people and let them all tell their problems, that you'll be so glad you were in that circle, you won't know what to do because the problems you had were just overdone by what these other people do. I loved a veteran on TV the other day. He doesn't have any legs. And for the athlete who wouldn't stand up for the national anthem, he said, tell him I'll stand for him and I don't have any legs. He has two metal legs and he stood up for the national anthem. If you don't like the national anthem, go to a nation that doesn't have it. See? That was what us rednecks said back in the 30s. If you don't like America, don't come here. If you can't be happy here, leave. Don't mess up our happiness because you're sad and don't smile, have no personality and nothing to live for. Don't take it out on me. It was your fault anyway. You'll do what you think. If you'll do what the Bible says and take charge of your mind and turn it over to the Lord, he will guide you as to what to do. That's what the shepherd does. You see the shepherds, you can see them right now over in Jerusalem, Israel. The shepherd's still there, and they have the sheep gate. And Friday morning, all the shepherds bring the sheep for the big sale. Now, all sheep look alike. I mean, it's hard to tell one sheep from another. And the guy's got 100, he's got 150, he's got 72. And they're all there together. And they all look alike. And you say, well, how do they separate them? That shepherd has taken such good care of those sheep that those sheep will not answer the call of another shepherd. And they can mingle at the gate, or they can come down the mountain path where you have to, you know, one jumps and he jumps and you just got a mess. Shepherds don't even worry about that. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Where you going? Well, I got to go to town. Where you going? Well, I'm going up in the mountains. And then they go to their opposite sides of the sheep. And this shepherd calls his sheep. And every one of his sheep will leave that crowd and go to their shepherd's call. They understand who their shepherd is, and they will follow no other. That's what we're supposed to do. All these isms and oozums, and let's all get along, and let's all meld all religions together and have one big religion. Well, that's what we're trying to do. You need to become a Christian. No, you need to put up with us. No, you don't have a God. Why would I even bother with you? There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, according to the revealed word of God. And if you aren't following him, you're following a dream in your head. You might as well be a hippie. Smoke dope, jump rope, do nothing. Right? Because you're worthless is what's wrong with you. You're just going through the motions is all. See? And I remember when all the hippies said, don't trust anybody over 30. They're all 40 now. Wonder what they think. Boy, that changed, didn't it? Mm-hmm. That changed. Yeah. You put your trust in your shepherd. That's all you do. You've got the one to do. All right. So the Lord's my shepherd. What kind of shepherd would I want? He'll care for me. That's total security, isn't it? That's assurance, is it not? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, why would you have to make them do that? Well, I already told you, they'll wander off and get lost. Now, the shepherd knew where all the green pastures were. If you've ever been to that part of the country, you'll think that God assigned every living bird to pick up a rock and drop it on Israel. I mean, it's nothing but dirt and rocks and all, and very little grass, see? And the shepherds knew where these grass pods were in the mountains. They knew, they didn't have number, they just knew. And so these shepherds, the sheep, said, we'd like to have a little something to eat, and I can't eat a rock. He said, well, you just follow me. We'll be all right. And he would lead them into the green pastures where they could have something to eat and bed down for the night. They didn't have to worry because isn't this a big desert? Aren't these a lot of rocks? They knew if they would follow that shepherd that everything would be all right. And they did not see green pastures. They didn't know where the green pastures were. They didn't know if there were any green pastures. I'm sure there was a grumbling sheep or two. We got a couple here. We won't point you out. We know who you are. And they grumble about everything. Well, Harry, we've been walking 6 miles. I don't see any grass. You're not in charge. Just get in line and follow the shepherd. When you need grass, he'll get it to you. He already told you he'd take care of you. So now he's going to take care of you and let you lie down in green pastures. Well, that's not much of a job, is it? It is if you know how many snakes got in that grass. And the shepherd would put the sheep, stop here, gang, I got to go clean the table. And he'd go in with his rod and his staff and bop the snakes on the head and run them out of the table, they called it. That's the grass part. And he'd make sure there were no poisonous snakes in there to bite his sheep. Because sheep, I've already told you, can't take care of themselves. And so he would go in, and didn't matter how long it took, he'd get every harmful thing off that table. Taking care of his sheep, preparing the way before they got there, just as he does for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I imagine that was a cooling, refreshing thing at the end of the day of walking through the desert over there. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why? I told you a while ago, if you let sheep get in running water, they'll be drowned in a minute because their fleece will absorb the water and hold it like a sponge, and they'll drown. They'll be gone. So the shepherd said, no, don't go to the creek. Lay down up here on the green grass where I brought you, and I'll go get you water. And he would go and get what we know was the number 5 wash tub. Your grandmama had one out here in the country. And that's where he would go get a little water at a time and fill up the big bag, the big tub, so they could drink cool water, which they had to have, still water. And they wouldn't be drowning themselves over that. A lot of work. A lot of care, a lot of taking care of the details. So Harvey, the bad sheep, yeah, I see the grass, that's good and all, but what we're going to drink? Shut up. Just lay down and do what the shepherd says and you'll be all right. All right? How many times have you had to tell a guard not to cross their feet, Sylvia? You cross your feet in basketball, somebody's going around you. because you can't get untangled. Do what your shepherd says. Do it like they say. They know more than you do. Oh. We had a wonderful fellow at Greenville High, giant, he's dead now, probably shot himself to death. He never would pass the ball. John Dietz. And John Dietz is one of the top 10 best basketball shots I've ever seen, pro and all. Pro, college, anybody you want, get the ball to John, he'll put it in the hole. I mean, it was just phenomenal. What he's scoring 30 and 40 points a game in high school, 8-minute quarters, no three-point shots, right? That's better than a point a minute, and the other team's got the ball halftime, right? I mean, he could fire that thing. But he had the worst attitude in the world. Wouldn't follow what the coach said, wouldn't listen to anybody but himself. And finally, in the end, it got him. And I'm sorry. His brother had a better attitude. He played catcher for San Francisco and for the Atlanta Falcons. Dickie Dietz, you may know him. I say, well, I raised him down at City Park in Greenville. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he said, he leads me beside the still waters. Now I can drink. In the quietness of the evening, I got a cool grass bed here. Things are looking up. The sun's going down. I've got cool water to drink. Boy, my shepherd takes care of me. And we don't want just a cool drink of water. We want a swimming pool in the backyard, right? Yeah. I never take a shower. I don't stop there because you'd wouldn't get within 20 feet of me. I never take a shower that while I'm in that shower, I don't thank God for it. Because I was brought up in wasn't a mobile home, it was a trailer, okay? If you wanted running hot water, you better get good at basketball because you can go to Y and make the team and take as many showers as you want a day free. And basketball, football came in high school. I didn't worry about it. All I needed to find out was every day you could take a hot shower. And me and four more were going to play basketball, and me and 10 more were going to play football. I don't know what the rest of them are going to do, but one spot's gone. Not for the love of the game. It's because I didn't have running water. Okay? And so the bathroom was in a house. We had to go up the street to the gas station or whatever. That's why I wasn't as big in high school, of course. Weighed 175, pretty good sized high school fella. But I could run the 100-yard dash in a hurry. When the bathroom is about 100 yards from where you live, you'll get some speed on you. And even to this day, when I go to Greenville, I go by the filling station where I used to go down at the corner to use the bathroom. And to this day, I go back in there and use the bathroom just for old time's sake. And so when I'm in a shower down here in my beautiful condo that was given to me to use, I said, Lord, look at this. Hot water, cold water. If I want it hotter, I can do that. If I want it cooler, I can do that. I have a commode within a foot here. I can use that. I have electricity. I want to shave. I got an electric shaver. Don't fool me. My shepherd took care of me, boy. I got a doodad on the wall that I can change the environment, Obama. I can make it as hot or as cold as I want to with the turn of a switch. Am I not wealthy? I got a room full of machinery. I don't let my wife in there because she could get hurt. But I got a big box over it, stays cold with food in it anytime I want. Am I not wealthy? People starving to death? 25,000 people, children, will starve to death tonight. You see? And I got a refrigerator and cupboards. Got some. I got cupboards on the wall. I hope you got some. And there's food in there. See? I can change clothes every day. Every day. I got shoes. I don't have to go barefoot. I got shoes I never wear. I'm arrogant about it. I'm so wealthy. Right? And you're going to hear me complain? You see? Somebody gave me a car, and a gentleman here gave us money to buy a van for Ann where she can go to the post office and do the things that she does. And I said, who does that? My shepherd takes care of me. See, my white Mercedes that somebody gave me was getting on up to 350,000 miles on it and rattling a little bit. And so someone called and said, you need a car? I said, well, not immediately, but every time I get in it, I'm prepared to call for another car, and I can't buy one. They don't loan people 8 years old cars, car money, and I wouldn't give you $20,000 for every car ever made, to be honest. It's just not in my psyche. Okay. So I got a phone call from a friend I taught how to sell years ago, 50 years ago. Taught him how to sell. He must learn more than I did. He made $1 million or two, lives in Atlanta, calls me. You need a car, baby? Yeah. My daughter is graduating from high school, and I've got a car out there under the tree, been sitting there a year, and we wanted to give it to her, but you know how kids are. I want a Camaro. I mean, think about it. He said, I don't believe she wants that car out there because she says, that's an old person's car. And I said to myself, I'm old. He said, what kind of car is it? He said, it's a Mercedes 430. Next time you got $60,000, go price one out. Sitting right out there, and it's mine. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, Shepherd. And I've learned through life, if I'll trust the Shepherd, he'll take care of me. Don't want to be a hero. Just want to be a preacher that preaches the fundamentals of the faith and get sinners to heaven. Get you saved if you're lost, like that sheep. All right? So he restoreth my soul. What does that mean? Well, a sheep has been walking all day and with the flock there. He's picked up some briars. He's bushed into some briars and he's got some thorns about him and he might have some little rocks in between his cloven feet and that hurts, you know. And he may have some cuts and bruises and it's been a hard day. So the shepherd said, wait a minute, my man. I've got the snakes gone. Lay down, pick you out a place over there on the cool grass. And go ahead and nibble on some. You have all you want. Just take care. Just lay down and rest. And while you're resting, I'll go get you some water. And I'm going to fill up the number 5 wash tub out there in the middle of the grass. And when you feel like it, get over and get you a cool drink of water. Drink all you want, because every time you take some out, I'll put some in. And that sheep saying, man, what a shepherd. What kind of care is this? What have I done that he should care for me so? How could I earn the respect of the Lord God Almighty that he would take care of me in such a manner? Who am I to even make a request of him? I have problems with the prosperity gospel people. You see, they've got houses and cars and hot and cold water just like me, and they got one of those refrigerator things, and they have money, and What is it you wanted? You really have a nerve asking God for anything else after he died for you on Calvary. What is it you want? What will make you happy? Only he will. So you follow the shepherd. And the shepherd's restoring his soul, and then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What in the world does that mean? Well, sheep will go anywhere. If they come to a fork in a road and you don't lead them down the right way, they'll take a left instead of a right. It won't be long before they run into an animal that eats them. So the shepherd makes sure they are on paths of righteousness, on the right road. And that's what our shepherd does. Every now and then, I have found out in my length of days that God will give you a little warning, and he will do like my mama used to do. He'll hold you up by one hand and switch your little legs. You run around the circle like a fool, like you're going to get away. She's got you. You ain't going anywhere but in a circle. And my mama would switch my little legs. The worst time it happened is when I picked up a little saying at grade school. I'm in the second grade, and I'm getting educated now, and I don't have to listen to her and all that stuff she's putting down. So I thought I'd pick up a new little saying and try it out that day on my mama. And she told me to do something, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And she said, pardon me? I said, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. She said, I'll switch your little legs. And I thought I'd try out my new saying. You wouldn't dare. Man, I like to got beat to death with a switch. I think there's still a circle in the yard over there where I was trying to get away from that thing. The Lord will do that. He's just warning you. He ain't going to hurt you. Keep it up and he'll thump you in the head. Boop. Yeah. Keep going the wrong way and he'll get out the two before. Boom. See, do you see that knot right there? I promise he's got a two before. And if you keep on, he'll take you home early if you're a Christian. If you're not going to help me, you're not going to hurt me. Well, our preacher doesn't preach that. Then you better get down here. He can't read. How sad. You better understand when the Bible says over and over and over the wrath of God. Please understand what that is. His wrath was poured out on Jesus on Calvary's cross, and you can read about that and still not get the full impact of what happened there. That's the wrath of God. And he keeps telling us, the sheep, if you do not obey me, my wrath's going to come. So you suit yourself. We used to sing the song in my daddy's tent, and Freddie'd be there with his grandmama, and we'd have to sing, me and Freddie, best we could. Yeah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I miss those old songs, and I miss those old little. I learned half my theology from being in the booster choir. That was us kids who sang before my daddy preached. Trust and obey. How hard can it be? Evidently, for a sheep, it can get out of line, can't it? And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you have to understand, going up through the mountains of that part of the country, there's crevices in the sides of the mountains. I mean big ones. And the robbers would hide back in there, and they'd let the shepherd go by, and they'd let the sheep go by, except for them last one or two, and then they'd scoop them out and head down the road at the valley of the shadow of death. They're gone. If the sheep stepped off and fell in a crevice, sheep can't climb. He's just there. He's going to die. The birds will come along, go down and get him, or animals of some sort can climb and get him. But he's in a crevice. That's why the shepherd carries that crook. You know the Christmas crook? If you don't know what they are, they'll be out at Walmart next month. The Christmas stuff will be out. And the reason why, it was about 8 feet tall. And it's curved at the end. And people say, I wonder what that's for. Well, the shepherd would shimmy that thing down the side of the crevice, turn the crook under the little sheep. It would catch him coming up under his arms, and he'd just put him right up. The other shepherd had a baseball bat, a little bit longer. You've seen pictures of them. That was the rod. Okay. A good shepherd could take your head off from about 4 feet away. Choo, choo. You'd be gone. He didn't worry about robbers he could get to. So he could hurt you bad. He could kill you. A shepherd could kill you in a minute. That was the protection for the sheep. The sheep didn't get to carry one. They depend totally on the shepherd. That's who we depend on, is it not? So they said, though I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the little sheep, looking at the robber, said, yeah, put your hands on me. I got a friend. Fool with me. I can't bite you. I can't knock you down. I can't hurt you in any way. But I got a friend who will turn you ever away from Sunday. That's what we have. So the valley of the shadow of death don't bother us. What are all you going to do? They're trying to wipe out Christianity in America right now. We're not scared. Well, what if they threaten to kill you? Well, I guess I'll be dead if they shoot me. I'm going to be dead soon anyway. I don't care. You're not scared to die? No. I'm like Harold Sackler in Greenville. He said, one day people will come and report to you that Dr. Sackler has died. Don't you believe a word of it. My last day will be my best day. Because that's the day I get to go home. Be with the shepherd. What a wonderful mind. Thank you, David. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You in that snake? I see you. Bop! He'll hit them with that rod. They won't be there long. In the presence, the very presence. No fear. Shepherd, take care of it. You anointest my head with oil. A shepherd was a wonderful veterinarian. To this day, a shepherd, when he puts the sheep in the fold for the night, he looks at each one as he comes in through the door. And he'll look over his body to see if there's any briars or thorns there or any cuts he can anoint with oil and make better. And they said that a shepherd can look in the eyes of a sheep and tell more about his health than any veterinarian on earth can do by running whatever tests they want. All he got to do is look in his eyes and he knows. Guess who knows all about us? Guess who can just look at what we're doing? He knew before we did it. Oh, Lord. You have to say, oh, Lord, he already knows. What am I going to do, Lord? And he said, call on me. That's all you got to do. Be obedient. I'll take care of it. Leave it alone. My cup runneth over. That's what they call the number 5 wash tub in the middle of the grass with the cool water I told you about. The shepherd didn't let that run out of water. He didn't say, I've already filled that thing up once. You greedy sheep have drunk all the water. I'm not doing any more. No. My cup runneth over. The supply is endless. The love of God cannot be measured. If you're not a believer and you die and go to hell, please understand God will still love you. That won't get you out of hell, but he'll still love you. You can't outrun the love of God. Can't do it. Well, if he loved me, he wouldn't let me go to hell. If you loved him, you wouldn't have to. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means present and future. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm like the kids, you know, how old are you, boy? 9 and a half. He wants to be 10. You know, they want their 9 and 8 and a half. I do that with people. How old are you, Beaver? 79 and a half. I'm not 80. Quit telling people I'm 80. Right. Do you know how big a dot 80 years makes on the line of time from eternity past to eternity future? Your little old 80 years won't even be distinguishable. You won't even be able to notice it's in the line. And we pour everything we have into those last few years, don't we? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Now gimme more. And if you have any more, gimme that too. I got to have bigger, better. I got to have more. I know of churches that literally have gone to another church and got their blueprint to make sure their new church was bigger than theirs. That's sick. It's not what your church looks like. Our church is us. It's not a building. You're the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Doesn't matter about your big, I found out the Catholics, bless their heart, there's good ones and bad ones, saved ones and lost ones. But they're trying to sell an old mausoleum in New York City. Did you happen to see that thing on television? They got catacombs under the building, under the old cathedral, the old St. Patrick's Cathedral. And people are buried in and they're trying to sell it. And I don't know who wants to buy a pretty graveyard. It's a beautiful building down there. It's air conditioned. I'm sure all those dead ones are glad about that. And it's going to sell it for $70 million or something. Oh, that's wonderful. It's a high price for a bunch of dead people, isn't it? I guess I think different than most people. I don't know. Ann said, what you going to do when you die? I said, nothing. What you going to do? Well, what kind of casket? Sometimes she can get very negative. I said, put me in one of them big black garbage bags and put me out by the curb. They won't let you stay there long. The city will get rid of you. I promise that. Oh, I just couldn't do my mother that way. Well, why'd you leave her in the rest home for 5 years and visit her twice? Now's not the time to love mama. That's when she was alive and you could have. She's gone now. She's gone. I always find it comical to, I have to hold a lot of funerals. I hold more funerals than weddings these days. And it's always kind of humorous to me to, I'll see what's going on. And they're burying a guy in a coffin that costs more than his car. Why don't they just bury him in the car? He ain't going to use it. Well, you don't think regular. Never said I did. So, I don't care where you bury me. I ain't planning to be buried. I'm going to go up on that first trip. So, I believe the Lord will come while I'm still alive. He's 97 years old, and I believe Billy Graham will see the second coming of the Lord. I know Franklin will. See, that's how us crazy people can get excited about something. Okay. I understand the good Pentecostal people. I mean the real ones. They just get excited. They got to do something. Swing on the lantern or roll on the floor. But they just can't contain it anymore. I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. I think that's grand. Not if you're doing it for show. But if you're doing it because you got to can't help it. Now, I've known people who were like that. They came to church expecting to be blessed. Most churches, you can find them. We generally have a few here. They'll cross their arms, and then they cross their legs, and then they cross their eyes, and they're saying, bless me. I ain't trying to bless you. I'm trying to stay away from you as much as possible. You're right at helpless. You don't expect a blessing. You don't expect to get excited. You don't expect to say, oh, yes, well, I have a home in heaven, and I'm certainly glad about that. Excuse me? I've been more excited about a cheeseburger than most people are about going to hell. All right. Found a place the other day. Best cheeseburger in town. And it's at the mall. Then next to where I live. Carolina Burger. Somebody started a chain of hamburger stands from Concord, North Carolina. That means hamburger, mustard, chili, and onions. That's a hamburger, right? A piece of meat with lettuce and tomato is a salad. All right? So till you've had a real cheeseburger, Carolina chili on it, you ain't at you, but I can get excited all the time about that. Say, all right, let's do this thing. Okay. And you get in good. It's just like up at Ella's, old flowers will go to Ella's. Why do you take them to Ella's? I have a personal server at Ella's. She'll be looking for those flowers this afternoon. As a result, I'll get more shrimp than you do. And I won't get half a flounder. I get the whole thing. You see, I didn't fall off a watermelon truck. You see, show some excitement. I knew a preacher one time, a fellow came to him and said, me and my wife aren't getting along too good. That's a very common thing. But he said, things just aren't like they used to be. We used to just hold hands when we walked down the street and love one another and just couldn't get over each other. We were so excited about each other, and all that's gone. Well, he said, well, why is it gone? He said, I don't know. Things just separate, and I've been going down to the dollhouse and been watching the girls down there and, trying to bring a little excitement back in my life. And the preacher said, well, what do they do down there? Said, well, they got the pole dancers and all that, and they don't wear much clothes. And they'll come up to you, and people stick $10 and $20 in their bikini, if they can find it, it's just kind of brings back, some memories. He said, I don't understand that. He said, how much does it cost you? He said, well, I go to the VIP section, and that's extra $50 and $10 to park and $10 to get in. Isn't it $10 to get in, Jack? And it's $10 to get in. And then on the VIP section, you got to order champagne, You can't be buying a beer like these other people. And I said, okay. And then you got to give the girls some money. He said, well, all in all, what does a night down there cost you? He said, About $200. So $200. So you trying to invigorate yourself and bring back some joy, as we'd call it, in your life, and that's what you're doing for $200? Yeah. He said, "Preacher, can you help me?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Tonight on the way home from work, stop by the flower shop and get your wife a dozen roses. Okay? Go by the any corner's got one, the grocery, the pharmacy, Walgreens, the CVS, and get you some candy. That's still good. And when you get home, it'll be a shock to her. So, honey, I just want you to have these flowers." "Well, what is a special day?" "I know, it's your special." And give her the roses. He says, "All right." And then say, "You so sweet, I want to give you this candy." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "And then when she greets you at the door, is she generally fully dressed?" He said, "No, she'll be in her nightgown, you know." And he said, "Okay, get the nightgown open. Take two $100 bills and stick them in your wife's little brief thing there. And you may find out business picks up at home." Mm-hmm. Okay. "What's wrong with your situation is you not being thankful for what you got, for what God gave you." Isn't that sad? So we have a shepherd and we the sheep. All we got to do is follow him. Maybe you're here and don't have a shepherd. Just try to fall in with the rest of the people and do what you can and get it on the latest style and all that and keeping up with the Joneses. You can forget that, because the time you catch them, they're going to refinance. They're going to be ahead of you again. But just say, "Wait a minute. I need to exercise what the Bible tells me to do. Need to put it in action. Just knowing about it won't help. I've got to be obedient. I need to read this and find out what is it God would have me do, and I need to do it." And if you aren't in that shape, you have no shepherd, why don't you join in today? And wherever you are, bow your head, "Lord Jesus, as we sing and pray, I'm a sinner, you know that. I want to walk in a new direction. I want to be saved, as they call it. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm going to repent." Repent doesn't mean be sorry. Repent means metanoia, which means turn and walk in a new direction. That's what repentance means. And I want to do that, Lord, and I want you to help me. And I'm just a sheep, and I want to be one of your sheep. And I want you to be my shepherd. He'll take it from there. He'll take it from there. Thank you for coming today. If you've not made a decision for Christ, you do that as we sing. You don't have to come up here. If you have something you want to tell me or pray with me about, come ahead, that's fine. But let's just be good sheep and thank our shepherd who loves us so. Shall we? Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, what a shepherd you are. You care for our needs. You see to our sicknesses. You make sure we're fed and watered, and you lead us down the paths of the right thing to do. And you've promised us a safe journey as long as we'll follow you. And you have built us a place to be with you forever. What a wonderful shepherd you are, my God. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Sinner.